Of the congregation, our text this morning is simply Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. By way of introduction, let me simply say the Ten Commandments have often been divided into the first table of the law and the second table of the law. And the fifth commandment is the first commandment on the second table of the law. Now, by me preaching just on the fifth commandment, we should not forget that first table. Many think that the second table is the more important one, and there are others who think, well, as long as you do the first table, then you're okay because God is most important. But they go together. So let's remind ourselves of that at the beginning. And let's see how essential this commandment is in our daily life, even as we age. Because I was thinking, some of us will think this morning, well, my mom and dad are not living anymore. They have passed away. Maybe you think they're with the Lord. What a mercy of God. But I've noticed that those whose parents are no longer living, that those children of theirs still think of their parents. And they speak about their parents with respect. One of the congregations where I served, I had a member who was 103. And her mind was good, and she often talked as if she had just talked earlier that morning to her mom, because she would say, my mom used to say, and then she quoted her verbally. Many basic things that stood out in later years. So something like that this morning, and I jotted down as my theme the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And I have 4 points, the first point being the family being the basic unit. And then secondly, honor your father and your mother. Honor as the basic requirement. And then thirdly, Christ as the basic need for you and me, also in this regard. And then fourthly, God's blessing as the basic promise. So that sequence, that's the structure. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. The family, the basic unit. Honor, the basic requirement. Christ, the basic need. And God's blessing as the basic promise. So first, the family as the basic unit. That's the first lesson this morning, that the home is the fundamental unit in human society. That's what God says when he begins the second table that relates to our neighbor. The first thing he says, honor your, he doesn't say, honor you, the government. That's implied. But honor your father and your mother. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? The Lord doesn't say in the fifth commandment, honor your neighbor, that you may live long upon the earth, but honor your father and your mother. So the family is that basic unit. Mom, dad, mom, and the child. One, two, three children. And the home, biblically speaking, is the first place where love, where trustworthiness, where obedience, loyalty have their beginning, have their roots. If these things are not in the home, they won't be anywhere in society. There will only be confusion in society and anarchy in society. If there is no obedience in the home, it won't be there in the world. And that's why today the church has to bring this out by teaching it, but also by living it. Over against the human or humanistic influences in today's society. You know, we are living in an age in which even the leaders in our society in so many ways are deliberately working to overturn the biblical pattern of life. Isn't that true that in our society, women must do men's work and men must do women's work? In our society, men can act like women. And women need to be like men. Where does it come from? From Satan the liar. From the beginning. And it's an assault on God's creation ordinances. And then think of it that our world is attacking much more than that. Because in many countries the thinking is that the government, the state, has to raise the children. And in many states, in many countries, it's the government that permits the children in their teen years, when girls become pregnant, for example, and they don't want the baby, then the governments permit these girls to abort their babies without the acknowledgement, without the permission of their parents. What is that? That's an ungodly, a non-biblical influence. And we need to speak out against those things. Because they strike at the fundamental idea of the unit of the family. But we should also not only talk about the society that you and I are in, but we should also talk about ourselves in this regard. And ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, do I live in such a way? And do you live in such a way that the home, the family, is indeed the basic unit of our society in accordance with the commandments of God? And if I may say, fathers, think for a moment, what is uppermost in your mind? Your wife and children, that is under God? Or is it your boss and the pressures of your work and of your world? And mothers, what is uppermost in your mind? Your husband under God and your children under God? Or is it your friends and the world around you? And young people, what is uppermost in your mind? Your parents or your peers and the world around you? The Bible calls you and me to take an honest look at this question this morning by saying to us, honor your father and your mother. The family is the basic unit in our life, if it is right. Is it in yours? Is it in mine? And the way you answer that question is going to affect where you are going to be on Saturdays, men, and where you're going to be on Friday nights, young people, teenagers, and where you're going to be, mothers, on Monday mornings. Fathers in our midst, should you maybe put less emphasis on golfing and fishing, and your friends, and less emphasis on working overtime? And should you be more at home and be part of the family? Do you maybe really just have to get off the couch at home and become engaged in your family and be active in your family, instilling truths and values in the lives of your children? And moms, how is that in your life? Are you looking for an escape continually? I gotta get away from my family. I just can't handle this. Is that how it is? And teenagers, should you perhaps be less in your chat rooms and more in the family rooms? Let us each examine ourselves in the light of this commandment. Honor your father and your mother. God's basic unit is the family. Is it yours? So that first of all. And then secondly, honor as the basic requirement. Let's look at the word honor. What does it mean to honor? The biblical word for honor really means to consider the weight of someone, the weight of something. It really means to respect your father and your mother, to reverence your father and your mother, because they deserve your respect. Now, children, imagine that you would be standing in front of an animal. Imagine that you would be standing in front of a big lion. Or imagine that you would be standing in front of a little puppy, of a dog. Which animal would you respect more? Wouldn't that be that fierce lion, who is much stronger, heavier, much more fierce than that little puppy? That puppy, maybe you would be inclined to pick it up and put it in your arms and pet it. Well, when we honor someone or honor something, then we think about the weight in a certain sense. How important that person is. How we are to respect that person. Imagine that you would be spending time with either this person or that person. Imagine that this week our Prime Minister, Mr. Stephen Harper, would come into town and you would get to meet him. And you'd be standing there with your little brother or with your sister. Whom would you respect more, your little brother or Mr. Harper? Wouldn't it be Mr. Harper? Why? Well, because he's the Prime Minister. Because he, in a certain sense, he governs this country. Would you not honor him as Prime Minister? He holds a very important office. God has given him authority, in a certain sense, over this country. And we need to consider his position and give it its due weight. That's what the word honor means. Honor your father. But you don't merely honor your father and mother because your dad is stronger than you, but because God has given your father authority over you. Now, you cannot see authority as such, but you can know it. I noticed that the other day when my wife and I came from Michigan State, from the United States of America, and we wanted to visit my mother-in-law in Clinton. We had to cross the border, and when we came at the border, it said stop. So we stopped, and then we proceeded when the car in front of us was gone. And then we met an immigration official or a border patrol agent. And he said, "Can I see your passport?" And it was not the Michigan State Police asking, but it was a Canadian Border Patrol officer whom we had to obey. Where are you going? Bringing in anything? You understand that, don't you? A man of a different authority. The authority from the one nation changes when you go to another nation. Now, we are living in a day when many people don't recognize authority. They don't even think about that word. Or they may watch the speed limit when they all of a sudden see an OPP car somewhere, slow down, not because they respect the OPC police officer, but simply because they don't want to get a speeding ticket. But you have to honor a police officer, don't you? And not just trying to avoid the punishment. That whole word authority is becoming a foreign word in our society. Some years ago, we had a teacher in our home who had been a teacher, I think, for 30 years. And it was, I think, my wife who asked her the question and said to her, "What's different as a teacher if you compare now being a teacher today and 30 years ago?" And you know what she said? She thought for a moment and she said, "Oh, it's quite different. Today, students think they can bargain with you as an equal. You give them a task, a command, and then instead of doing it, they begin to bargain with you as an equal. They think that I want you to do this," the teacher says, "and they think of, what can I do now to change my teacher's mind?" And so the students today come with a counter proposal. And then they try to find a happy medium. There's a very perceptive comment on the part of the teacher congregation. And it's true today across the board, you can say. But that's not how God ordained things in His Word for this world. God has structured His creation so that everything needs to be under authority. And just think of that this morning. How much should honor be part of your and my life? It certainly is to be an important command in our lives, as it is in the Bible. We are to honor God above all, because He is most glorious. He has authority and power. And we are to honor the Bible as the very Word of God. What an authority the Bible should have for you and me. And we are to honor the government, indeed, under God. God has given to the government authority. And we are to honor our laws unless our laws are contrary to the law, the Word of God. And we are to honor the office bearers in church, the elders and the deacons. And wives are to honor their husbands. And children are to honor father and mother. Now, what does this mean practically, you may be thinking at this moment or wondering? Well, take for example this, that if you honor your father and your mother as you ought to, then you have a desire to please your father and your mother. You know that in the Heidelberg Catechism we have a whole Lord's Day on this verse. And one of the clauses in that answer is the following. It says that I show all honor, love and fidelity to my father and mother and all others in authority over me. That means that you desire to obey your parents, your superiors. And when mom and dad need to go away for a little while, then they say in the family to the oldest one in the family, you look after the family. And then mom and dad say to the children, now you have to listen to your oldest brother or your oldest sister. Right? They give your brother that kind of authority for that kind of situation. And you need to recognize that that's how God does it. God has given your father and your mother authority over you. And God is watching to see if you honor them, if you obey them or not. And God wants you to respect your mom and your dad. And God examines your heart to see whether you respect their commands or not. If we knew all the tears that were shed, for example, in St. Thomas, then maybe most tears would be shed in the homes where mothers and fathers are weeping because their children are just flouting their authority, ignoring and going contrary to it. I've heard parents say to me, we have a lovely home and we have so many other nice things. We've worked for those things as well. But they say the thing that matters most to us as parents, as persons, are our children. Our children. That's surely true of Christian parents, isn't it? Children mean more to mom and dad than all the possessions that they may have. It also means that to honor your father and your mother, you need to desire their good opinion. The Catechism puts it like this. It says, you and I need to submit to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. You see, it's impossible to love your mom and your dad and not be interested in their opinions for you. And those children, those young people who are indifferent to their parents' good opinion, if you're not respecting mom and dad's opinion, something is wrong in the sight of God. It also means to honor your father and your mother is that you spend time with your father and your mother. To honor someone is you need to be with him at times. There's a togetherness in a family which is essential to loving one another. There cannot be honor of the parents if the parents and children are just passing one another like two ships in the night. I just heard it on the radio last week by a Baptist preacher who said that in our present society, kids spend a lot more time on their own, in their own room. They have their iPad, they have their iPhone. And they're gone the whole morning and they're gone the whole afternoon. But when it's lunchtime, they come down and they say, what's there for food? And the pastor said they want the food, but they don't want the family. But to honor your father and your mother is to spend time with your father and your mother. Now, having said all these things to the children, the parents also need to realize that there is a requirement for them in this regard that you need to remind yourself of. It is this, that God has invested you with authority over your children, and God is calling you to realize and to exercise that authority. And your children are not your equals. I've heard parents say to me, oh, I just do everything to keep my kids on friendly terms. And I understand that. But that should not be your focus, that your kids may only be your friends. They are your children, and you are father and mother, and you are to biblically exercise that authority over them. It's nice when the children grow up and they turn out to become also your friends. But there should be that respect, that honor, that authority. And you need to exercise that authority because God requires that of you. And so you have to exercise that authority that God has given you. And that means you need to instruct your children. You need to teach them. And teaching your children is an important component according to the scriptures. Teach them, as Moses, for example, says, when you get up in the morning, and teach them when you lie down, and teach them when you are traveling. You must have noticed that yourself, you have to bring one of your children to piano lessons. And so you say, come on, we got to go. You hop in the car, and dad or mom starts steering, and the boy is in his own little world. And you are in your own little world. No communication. But we need to speak with one another as we bring our children in a nurturing way. Now, hearing all this, congregation, from the lines of the scripture, you must realize that this is so different from what our world today is teaching and practicing. Our world thinks that our children have something good in them, inherently good within them. And all you need to do as a mom and a dad is to be a good coach for your kids and help them develop their potential. But do you know what the Bible says about our dear children? If I may quote from Job, he says, man is born, and I'm reading it from the Authorized Version, man is born like a wild ass's colt. That means man is born like the colt of a wild donkey. And you may have seen a horse that does not want to wear a bridle or a rein. Well, we and our children are born like that. We are born with wills, our own wills. And nobody we want to be subject to except our own will and our own pride. But the Bible says a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. That's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. True, no parent should be a tyrant. But the wills of our children are to be trained by God-given authority. Trained to obey. That's the whole teaching of the scriptures. Obedience. Obedience leads to happiness. The scripture teaches that all the sin and the lawlessness and the confusion of our present-day world results from we don't want anybody to have the mastery over our wills. And so everybody in our society is impelled by nature, by his own will. And that's why scripture says, children, obey your parents in all things, for it is right. That's in Ephesians chapter 6. So we need to learn obedience in order to walk in the ways of the Lord. And it takes us to our third point, congregation, that our basic need is Christ. Our basic need is Christ. Now maybe boys and girls and teenagers, maybe you find it hard to obey your parents. Now maybe you're trying hard, so you think, I try hard, but I find it so difficult to obey my mom or my dad. Maybe you think, no, I find it impossible to obey my dad. Maybe you're sitting in church and you are stewing over something. And maybe you are thinking, obey my father? Never. Unless he changes. If he starts agreeing with me, I will. I understand your thinking in a certain way. You know, it is impossible for you to honor your father and your mother. It's impossible to do unless you first know the God of this command, the God who has made you. And that's our trouble, you see, by our sin. The way we have come into this world, we don't want to be under authority. And when God says, this is your mom, you're going to obey her, you say no. But you need God and you need God's word. And you need to learn to submit to God. And you need to know your need of Jesus as your Savior. You know his name? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel that I may proclaim to you this morning. That Jesus Christ, who is God from eternity and who became man in the fullness of time, conceived of the Holy Spirit, of the Virgin Mary, Jesus, who is God himself, when he became a boy and he grew up as a boy, he learned to obey his mom and his dad, Joseph. Isn't that amazing? We read in Hebrews 5 verse 8 that he learned obedience through suffering. He was subject to his earthly parents. And he was subject to his heavenly Father who had sent him. I remember when he was in Gethsemane, he prayed to his Father and he said, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And then he gave his hands to be bound by the soldiers. And his hands to be nailed on the cross and his feet. And he gave his life a ransom. Remember that in the Old Testament, if there was a boy who would not obey his mom and dad, and mom and dad would try everything. They would try to get Uncle so-and-so to help with bringing up the boy, but the boy would not obey his father. Then in the end, they would take him to the elders of the town. And then the elders would hear what was happening. And the elders wouldn't say, boy, we're going to give you one more opportunity. You have to obey your father. No. Then the elders would take him. And then the boy was stoned to death for his disobedience. Now, Jesus Christ came to take the place of disobedient children, grown-ups and children. And he was not stoned to death, but he gave himself to be crucified, to bear the curse due to our sins, that we may be redeemed from the sin of disobedience and all other sin, and that we might be renewed after the image of Christ and learn to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Jesus you need and I need. We in our church, we don't ask members to come to the pulpit and say, would you come and give a testimony? But I think if we did, I think many of us older ones, or you might not want to come up, but if you would, then you would come up here and you would say, you know something? What the minister just said applies to me. I have been so disobedient to God. I've been so disobedient to my father and to my mother. I didn't love my parents till I came to love God and came to see my need of Jesus. Oh, if you would have to tell that story, you would feel so ashamed, wouldn't you? But that applies to us. By our sin, we have been so blinded in this regard. But we would be telling the truth, all of us, in one or another way. But when we come to know God, then we know that God made us to be dependent on Him and on our father and our mother. And that dependence is not something miserable, but something that God thinks we need in our lives. It's really part of the glory with which He made us and with which He redeems us. Isn't that true, congregation? What a wayward children all of us have been to our God. And how when God speaks about this in the Bible, what is it that He says? If I may quote from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, the evangelist of the preachers, this is what he says in the first chapter, second verse. God speaking, God says, I've nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. But what a wonderful thing that God also says in another prophet, Hosea 11, God says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How shall I deliver you, Israel? What a wonderful one-sided grace there is on the part of God, congregation. God is Jehovah. And this, has this become your experience already? That God made you pray, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. And that for Jesus' sake, you began to cry, Abba, Father, to God. And listen to Isaiah in one of the chapters, 46. He says, hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who are born of me from the belly, who are carried from the womb, and even to your old age am I he, and even to your hoar hairs, gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, I will deliver you. What is that? That's a picture of God the Father carrying us, His children leading us. And that's what we human parents are to be to our children. We should be reflectors of God. And then the fifth commandment will not be a hard burden, congregation, but it will become a privilege and an encouragement and a precept. And you will love God and you will love your mom and your dad. Now it may be that you have a father who is not a Christian at heart, or a mother in that regard. But it does not absolve you from the duty to respect your mom under God. And only disobey because God calls you to obey Him first. But we ought to take the most earnest care to respect our parents and ask Him for grace. And then we notice that the basic promise is that blessing, that basic blessing. Maybe they'll pick that up in the afternoon, but think of that for a moment. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. God desires to give us long life in the way of obedience to our parents even. Don't misunderstand. Doesn't mean that all Christians get to live 120 years or so. It happens also to young people who love and fear the Lord, whom the Lord takes away out of this life at an early age. But what it does mean when God says that you may live long upon the earth, what it does mean is that God gives you a fruitful life, a God-honoring life. And the contrary thing is that if we do not honor God and we do not honor our father and mother, then in our society there's going to be much unhappiness and warfare, and we see it around us, and crime. But young people, remember that there is no blessing if you disobey, if you do not honor your father and your mother. Don't listen to your peers if they tell you, who cares about your parents? But listen to God. And as we hear these words, congregation, this morning, don't we have all reason to confess our sins and cry to God for forgiveness? And maybe it's time that we talk about this at home this morning with the children, and you children with mom and dad, and to confess our faults one to another, and to find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And remember, God's only begotten Son, who died the cursed death on the cross, his commandment, the fifth one, points us to Jesus. Him we need. And our society in St. Thomas and beyond needs to see what it is to have a Christian home where God is first. And Jesus is the Lord and our Savior. Amen.